In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. This is what Jesus said to his fearful disciples. This is what he says to us, his fearful disciples. And of all the teaching and patient instruction Jesus ever gave, perhaps this one bit of teaching speaks down the ages directly to us. For we are a fearful and anxious people. There's no use denying it. We worry, we fret. If we have investments, we worry about the stock market. If we have land, we worry about the weather. If we have neither investments nor land, we still worry. There's the specter of terrorism, violence, hatred, mistrust, polarization in our country and throughout the world. And then there is the problem of our own mortality to worry about, and the frailty and mortality of those we love and want to protect. And it seems the more blessings we have, the more there is to worry about. Do we have children? Well, then we worry about their safety. And are they safe? Well, then we are concerned about their happiness, their future, their schooling. Have we been blessed with parents who have lived into a ripe old age? Well, then we must worry about how to care for them as they inevitably decline, diminish in physical and mental acuity. In short, whatever our situation, rich or poor, healthy or sick, young or old, there is something to cause us to be afraid. So too often we are fearful and despairing. So Jesus says to us, have no fear, it is I. And he says this to us, a busy people, deeply involved in our busy work, in our swirl of activity, surrounded by all the distractions of life, our homes, our careers, our families, the latest accessories and gadgets. And yet many of us, perhaps more than we realize, beneath the veneer, the surface appearance, are desperately unhappy, unfulfilled, and empty. And so we come to this holy place, to this altar, a fearful and anxious people, and we hear the voice of one who lived over 2,000 years ago speaking directly to us and to our situation. It is I. Have no fear. Now, how does this affect us? Well, before we can accept that peace that he gives, that the peace of God which drives away fear, before we can do that, we have to know him. Before we can love him. And how do we come to know him? Through personal prayer, public worship, reflecting on the Holy Scriptures that we just heard a few minutes ago, and reading and meditating on them in our homes, receiving the sacraments, and coming to sense His presence in our brothers and sisters, fellow members of the body of Christ. And so we come to know Him, and so we come to love Him, and so we come to be aware of His love for us. And that makes all the difference in the world. To know Him is to love Him, and to know Him is to know that He loves us and that He is with us in this mystery we call life. He came to His anxious and fearful disciples in the boat. And there's a lot of maritime imagery in St. Mark's Gospel. So many occasions of Him on the Sea of Galilee in the boat. And the boat, of course, is a type of the church. We call this area where you are the nave. And if you look up there, it looks like the bottom of a boat. So this, it's a type of ark, a place of sanctuary amidst the teeming tempests of life. And this is where we have our Christian formation. And where we come to know the Lord, I pray we are, because our whole system is predicated on spiritual growth. And if we're not growing, then we're regressing. And we cannot truly understand our Lord's presence and how that gives us a sense of peace in this fallen world. St. Paul reminds us that we attain to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every vain wind of doctrine by the cunning of men. We are then supposed to grow up into Christ, who was the fulfillment of all that had gone before. The law, the prophets, the covenants, the worship, and the promises. This enables us to live. And this is a peace and a sense of happiness that doesn't depend on external things, and a security that goes beyond the transient physical security of the world. So the Christian way enables us to share the conviction of a lady who lived 700 years ago and who wrote in another age of anxiety, fear, and uncertainty. She said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Dame Julian of Norwich can say this. Indeed, only the Christian can say this and dare to live in the light of this truth because of the conviction of the goodness and purpose of life in the face of uncertainty and at times utter chaos. All shall be well, and all manner of thee shall be well. Take heart, it is I. Have no fear, Jesus says. And the wind ceases, and the waters are calm, and He is near. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.